Hillsborough. And I spent most of my life in Hillsborough. I was out of Hillsborough about, for a period of about 5 years. Other than that, I've been a resident of Hillsborough all these times. Your program, I believe, is to ask about some of the early days stores and offices in Hillsborough. I'll try to answer them. First, okay.
I heard that you were a city recorder.
That's correct.
What is city recorder?
City recorder in Hillsborough. I served for 32 years, from 1937 to 1969. So, city recorder is clerk of a city council, keeps the minutes of the council meetings, records the ordinances and street assessments, collects city licenses, and fees of that sort. Earlier days, we collected water bills for a time and sewer bills in that office. Now it's set up in a separate office of their own. But the principal work is the recording of the city's council meetings and the records of street assessments and things of that sort. I also served as municipal judge for that entire period, and in some cases tried in court. Not in all. Lots of cases were not tried in court because they paid a fine to police officer without going to court. Mostly traffic. I don't think of anything else that I could tell you on my city recorder position. That's about it. That's right. That's one place you meet the public. You really do. You meet the public in that place. And if anyone that likes to meet the public, well, that's the place for it. Sure is. Questions? How do you think you make sense?
Do you have
airport? The airport was started in 1935 as the city of Hillsborough Airport. I can't recall just the exact date. It used to be owned by Elmer Smith, Dr. Elmer Smith, who turned it over to the city of Hillsborough about the time that I went to the city hall. Then, of course, we got the war period. And as the war period came on, why, then the government granted money for the improvement of the airport. There was quite a little grading and drainage work done on the airport, and a slight extension of the runway to bring it up to 4,000 foot in length on airways, the runway. The operation of the airport itself by the city. The city didn't actually do the operation of the airport. It was turned over to private industry, actually, to operate the airport, and Ed Ball was the principal operator of the airport for the city of Hillsborough. No. No, he doesn't have any connection with it now. He does look at county fair. He gradually phases out of it. He did have an operation of his own there in repair of airplanes for a time, while he was also manager of the airplane.
Okay. into the port of Portland, take over the airport.
Yeah, it was about 1965, but I wasn't sure of it.
You know the port of Portland, do you? Well, that, what handles all the ports from the airport all around the area.
Yeah, Port of Portland operates this airport and the Troutdale Airport, both of them, along with the Port of Portland's main airport.
They're all operated by one division.
That's right.
It's not the city of Lakeville anymore.
Oh, we have no connection with it, actually.
So, I don't
know. Another question you have? Okay, thank you then.
What was the transportation
there? What did you most of, you know? The transportation within the
city
or through the city? Through the city. Oregon Electric Railway came in here with electric cars in 1909. And Hillsboro was a terminus of the railroad for quite a year or two. They had a boxcar. They had a boxcar for a station for a time on the street right alongside City Hall. And they run their car just out beyond North Ranger Adams Avenue. They had a Y out in there and they turned the car there and went back. Then they sent it on to Forest Grove about 2 years later. Southern Pacific Red Electric came in 1912. And they leaped around to up 6th Street, down Main Street to North Ranger Adams Avenue, and then south again to the main tracks down by the Carnation Plant. And they quit running through Hillsboro in 1924 with that electric.
This is electric. What was an electric?
Interurban cars, although they were about like street cars. They were as large, though, as the ordinary steam railway coaches, but they were powered by electricity. And the same way the Oregon Electric cars were powered by electricity.
What did they get the power from? The
tracks?
They
had their own substations in various spots. Loma had a service station to the Oregon Electric. That handled this side and on down towards Salem on that main line as far as Donald, and then they had another service station there at the power station, and one at just this side of Salem was another, or just the other side of Salem, and they had one down about Albany too.
They took
the electricians from the normal power plants, not a normal power line rather, and changed the direct current. And just an electric station to convert the power from alternating current to direct current. And by the same token, the United Railways have a line that runs out toward North Plains, which is owned by the same line as the Oregon Electric. And that car only uses what they call a 600-volt power line, while there's one over on the Oregon Electric side uses a 1200 volt. It's just a difference in system.
Did they start the electricity up then? Did they start it like in battery?
No. Mm-mm. You didn't use it, well, you just don't get it, that's all, after throwing the line. Same way with electric light. If you don't use it, why the surge is there, but you don't use it, why it disappears, that's all. No. No, they took it off the power line. Overhead wire.
Oh, an overhead wire?
That's right. So the trolley pole would follow right along the wire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a pole run up with a wheel on it and follow the wire. That's where they got the electricity from. Yeah, well, San Francisco, you think of the cable car? No. Well, the buses, Portland had one time the trolley buses too. But they had to use the second line because they had no grounding on rubber tires. They had no ground to connect to. Take with a trolley, take with a trolley car, of course the wheels run on steel and that's grounded. Portland uses the overhead trolley with the tractor trolley for quite a number of years, and then they finally figured out.
I remember those. Those
Now for the early transportation to Hillsborough, the Southern Pacific Railway, which was then the Oregon-California Railroad, had a line to run down to Hillsborough, Forest Grove, and into Mac Menville, that I remember, was the terminus up there. When I was just a youngster, went back to about 1900. But that was steam locomotive. They weren't very large, and they opened. That's a dual car with a platform, of course, on one end, or both ends of the car. And they run the Sheridan, too, at that time. Where at that time, they were running 10 years of Sheridan.
At this time, if you wanted to go to Portland, would you go by car or would you go by the train?
That's a real train. We didn't have railroad or automobile roads until about 1920. '15, possibly better. We had one wagon road into Portland, out of Hillsboro. And it wasn't very well improved either. But it started from uptown and went east on Baseline Street to 9th Street and south on 9th Street to Maple. And it stretched over to 10th Street and followed out the present road to the stoplight down at 13th. Which used to be the old Newsom Greenhouse corner. Then we crossed the track and went River Road, and crossed Rock Creek and came back to Witch Hale School and crossed the track and followed east to Bottom Mars. We got just this side of Reedville. Then we crossed back across the track again and went by Reedville on the south side of the railroad to just beyond Reedville Station. Then you had to jog south about a half a mile and go east on that road. And you finally got into Farmington Road and through Beaverton, through the town of Beaverton. And from Beaverton on, just about the same road as we have now, or the Salt Valley Highway, you know, through West Slope, and wound around up over Sylvan Hill and down Canyon Road. That was the old wagon road.
That's a long way to go.
Yes, it was. That's true. It had quite a little money. Then you could make it about an hour of an automobile. Generally, the high pack of automobile we used to have. And one time they ran a stage out of Portland to Hillsboro. And they were actually supposed to go through that, I remember. And they ran about four times a day. For the man, just an automobile, for the stage at all, it was an automobile. Then came along the red electric and the oil electric train, and they were the principal mode of transportation. Canyon Road has been the main road into Portland from the Twelton Valley, so I guess from the beginning of time, with settlement of this area. My brother-in-law, Fred Beach, who lived at North Plains, passed away since. Hauled grain from North Plains into Portland over the Canyon Road. That's the only way they had to get it into Portland. They'd make a day's trip, go in today, come back out tomorrow. So they brought a grain and bought seed and sugar and flour and things of that sort to bring back. That's getting earlier, just to go. But for the mode of transportation, there are those three, the Southern Pacific steam line, Oregon Electric and the Red Electric were the main transportation mode from the railway standpoint. And the old steam line, they would to do with me? No, so she's saying that you know. So you better be ready to get out.
Did you get all the money
Not until 1905. And then it didn't. It didn't reach the coast until 1910 or 12 before they got through the coast of it. It started out of Hillsborough, putting railway PR&M trains at it to Banks and Bucks and Timber. And for a long time, the train only went to Timber as far as they went with it. So we got it so long over the hills. So principally, it's a logging. No, that was later, way later. We had the 1933 Thomas Burns. After that, and I don't remember the number of years or the time even at that time of the year, but it must have been about 1940.
Mm-hmm. I remember that it was
dedicated.
You could tell the
H-bound. Yeah, well, it was cut over. And that, of course, went to Seaside and of course, on a post to Astoria. The connection was mainly at Wisconsin Junction, south of Seaside, anyway. But I don't know that they opened that thing up. But that was a result of the actual fire. So the Wilson River route was open principally to salvage timber. Well, that was open for and transportation of the course. Short route. Any other questions that you can answer?
What was my
last question? Oh, geez. I spent a period in the old Hillsborough National Bank. And then went to North Bend for 3 years in a day. We had the old type of currency. It was about twice the size of the currency we use now, and they called that in about 1920. And just about the same time, they called in the gold coin. You couldn't use gold coins.
You used to
go
to
gold? Yeah, $20, $10, $6, or $5. And 2.5, there was a common size of gold coin. We even had a $3 gold coin. I had one for a long time. Picked it out. Someone turned into bank and I picked it up. Well, in those days, as far as value is concerned, I could buy a sack of flour right at that time for about 75 cents, 50 pound bag of flour. And stock feed was much the same. Grain, you'd get a dollar and maybe 5 or 10 cents a bushel a week. Potatoes were extensively grown right around that period in here in this valley. And you could buy a sack of potatoes for a bag, some years a dollar, sometimes a dollar and a half, sack.
Did sugar a lot of money?
Well, it's much the same money, but then it had bought more, of course, but what you had, you didn't get as much for it. Salaries in those days, if you were drawing $100 a month, you're doing pretty well for salaries. I worked for Wells Fargo Express Company for $70 a month in Salem back about that time. That's right. Any other questions?
Do you remember the first store that was
Which?
The stores.
Stores?
Yeah.
Stores, they're taking a period from about 1920 to 1940. We have the individual stores. The Lee Oaks grocery store was on 2nd Street, about midway of the block on the west side of the street between Washington and Maine. Smith's Grocery had a grocery store next to the Economy Drug Store, the present Economy Drug Store. And we had Wiley's Grocery at 3rd Maine, the Oddfellows Building. We had a meat market where Economy Grocery is now. And Fred's Market was in there where the shoe store is now on the south side of Maine, next to Thayer's Office Supply. There were individual stores. And we had a grocery store on South 1st Street, right at the railroad. And there was a grocery store earlier at 9th and Oak Street. Most of them were small stores, they weren't large stores. But they didn't have the outlying community store like they did for a while. Like they have 7-Eleven out on North Cornell Road. Is that cross street coming on? Off County Road? And then of course the small store on South 10th were in there then. Now then we've grown to the supermarket, like the Smith's Grocery on Main Street, Safeway store. Take really good everything at one time. The Stagg store was the originator of Safeway. We had a Stagg store where the Bristol Hardware was in that building. And then finally take it over by Safeway. That, add to this what happened. Tag Reynolds, started that store in the store where the Bristol Hardware store it was for a long time. And then the Stagg people bought that off of Reynolds. And then the Safeway store took over Stagg, which is the present day Safeway operation. That's right, they really were. And Pigs and Wiggins started this grocery store at the corner of 2nd and Main, where the Hillsborough Men's Shop is at present. And then later moved across the street to the other side where the Lincoln Savings and Loan in that particular quarter. They were in there for quite a while when they closed it up.
Can you tell me how grocery stores are different?
Yeah, you take, for instance, the Oaks Grocery, the Oaks Grocery. They had barrels, of course, but some things like beans and pulse, almond, things like that that you got in bulk. They even had peanut butter in bulk at one time. Oh, don't think Oaks carried in bulk like that. They had a big... That's where you get it, you dip it out of a jar or a tub or something of that sort. They didn't lose it into a carton. They used the pickle carton quite a bit, which is much as any strawberry carton or ice cream carton today.
The grocery was important. They weren't
toffee
based. Because
you
got meat and
you got
meat barrels.
Yeah, they got
them
barrels. And then
a pound, half a pound.
Yeah.
And Mr. Oaks
would come in. Yeah, he generally kept in a great big glass jar, about so big. And he'd get that with a big ladle and fill a carton for you if you want peanut butter. Larger, much the same way if you went out of the meat market.
Are there many people buy the barrel itself?
Well, they usually sold the barrel later or else they sort of turned that back to the manufacturer. Sometimes they sent them back to the manufacturer. And they were refilled the meat again.
What was the name of
Plant? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Starting way back, we had Climax Mills and the Nolly Mill when I was a youngster. Way back about 1895 was when they started the Primax and the Nolly Mill both. They manufactured flour there in the Court Street side, that brand, that went along with it, and milk. And they continued to Nolly Mill closed out about 1910, somewhere in there. Primax Mill run to about 1915. Both down there, close to the Sunset Valley Depot. A carnation plant, which is now the dog food plant, came in 1905. And that was the Oregon Condensed Milk Company. And it was just a condensed milk plant, all along. The Carnation Company, as we know, had a plant in Forest Grove, and they eventually bought out the old Oregon Condensed Milk Company plant and moved their operations down in Hillsboro. Pioneer Railway, Tillamook, started out of Hillsboro in 1905. Started actually by the Southern Pacific Railway, but E.E. Lytle was the one that it was in his name, and he was the builder. But actually, the Southern Pacific Money built the road. And they started with a connection right over close to the Carnation plant and run up North Range Street or Adams Avenue, north. Then we had a sawmill on 3rd Street right at the railroad on Cedar Street, which then was called Railway Street. Originally, tell me, although I didn't remember, I knew the building right, the same place where the sawmill stood for so long, we had a winery. Well, not a winery, actually, it was a distiller. Made whiskey. But I didn't see that in operation. The building was still there, but I didn't see it in operation. The sawmill came in as a result of the opening of the Pioneer Railway toward Tillamook. They harvested most of their timber from around the Buxton area. There was timber here in cars and the sawmill here. And then that sawmill gave up. Oh, I suppose around 1910 or 12, somewhere in there. I don't just remember. Not an actual ice plant, no. Elmer Earl Baylor, rather, came in here from Forest Grove in later years and had what they call an ice plant, but he didn't manufacture much ice. He did some, but not very much. But his principal business was sale of ice cream. He made his own ice cream. He supplied to the school. He sold quite a little ice, although he bought some ice too out of Portland. But he did make some ice. And that plant was right where he lived. Not lived there yet. But
now, what did the people use the ice for that they bought?
In those days, we had ice boxes.
Instead of refrigerators.
That's right. The top of the ice box, you set a big chunk of ice in on that, in a tray. Then your butter and cream and some meat in the lower portion. Then it added drain, of course, for the water that
holds. I remember them delivering ice to my grandmother's house about once every 2 days.
Yeah, not quite that often, most cases, I guess, but then. That was the way they delivered, yeah. You usually bought them a 15 or a 25 pound or 50 pound chunk of ice.
How long did that last?
Oh, depend a lot on the place you kept the refrigerator and how many things you kept in the refrigerator, making melt.
Hey,
that
kept
the refrigerator cool. Yeah, they kept things cold enough that it would keep. No, nothing of that sort at all.
And so I would have thought that you usually that place in your kitchen. And the bread can be under your house, no wind, but so it could be.
I drove express wagon in Hillsboro in 1915-16. We received bread and ice cream and sacked ice too. That came out of a sack with sawdust around it. And I came out on express train regularly every day. And the ice cream was packed in wooden packages with a metal container of ice cream in the center and ice around that. It all covered with ice and salt. That's the way the ice cream in this area came out of Portland. 4th of July period, when they had celebrations where they get just a lot of packers of ice cream at this park.
So what people do to maintain it?
Starting about 19... No, let's say this. When I was just a youngster, we had skating rink. Was the principal thing of amusement. And that was in the old building at West Main Street right at the railroad, which is now the... No, it was a feed store. Long, long time. Yep, stairs floor was a skating rink. And that was our main amusement. Later we had a skating rink in the building where the Bristol Hardware was. And that,
yes?
Yeah, no, downstairs.
Downstairs?
Downstairs.
That's right next to where the theater is.
Yeah, right alongside the Tom Theater.
Where is it? Tom Peterson was around.
Yeah, Peterson. Upon